peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this 20th Sunday of Pentecost can be found in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Again, that's Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 17 and reading through verse 31, and reading in the name of our Lord. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, keep fraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, There is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we go through this passage of your word this morning, that you would calm our hearts and our minds so that we would truly be able to take in that message that your spirit has in store for us today. We also ask that you would bless the reading of your word and our meditation upon it. Amen. The essence of this Christian faith that we believe in is that we have a salvation based on the work of Jesus Christ and his work alone. The scriptures tell us that for by grace are we saved, through faith, and not of our own works or deeds. We can't earn our way into heaven. And all too often in this world we come across people, or we've known people, that in the course of our conversations with them about God will say, I don't need to come to church. I don't need to mess with any of that church stuff. I'm a good person. And when I die, God will take that into account. And we've all heard people say this sort of thing. And unfortunately, it's not the truth. There's nothing that we can do, whether we're a good person or not, that will get us into an eternity with God. And the text that we have before us today is a perfect example of that. And actually, if we start a few verses before our text, we can see another example that Jesus gives that's in relation to this. So if we look starting in verse 13, it says, And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me. And that means just allow them to come. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up into his arms, put his hand upon them, and blessed them. Blessed them. Jesus is telling these people, and those people that were around him and his disciples, that if you want a place in heaven, then you need to accept the salvation that I bring to you, as a little child would accept and would depend on their parents for everything. And when Jesus is talking about little children here, he's talking more about babies and infants than kids who are like 5 or 6 years old. In the Greek text, the word that's used there is parkeion, and it conveys the sense of a baby that's from birth to about 12 months old. After that, if a child is older than that, the word technon is used. So if we think of the little children in this passage as being infants and babies, then we can really get a clear picture of what Jesus is talking about here. A baby is totally reliant on everything that the parent does for them, and really can do nothing for itself. And when it comes to our salvation, Jesus wants us to approach it with the same attitude. It's a gift. It's given by him, and there's nothing that we can do to add to it. We are to be like those little babies. We are totally dependent on him and the work that he did on the cross. Apart from that, there's no other way to get into heaven. So as we start down our text today, we read in verse 17 that when he was gone forth, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And right away, we notice that this man is asking. He's asking Jesus if there's anything that he can do to be assured of a spot in heaven. And already, he's coming at it with the wrong point of view. And Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God himself." Jesus is trying to get the young man to get his view off of himself and onto the things of God. Jesus tells him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Do not covet honor your father and your mother." Jesus came to fulfill the law, but until he died on the cross and rose again, the law was still in place. So that's why he tells the young man this. And then the young man answers him in verse 20 by saying, "Master, all of these I have observed from my youth." Now I have to stop here and pause for a minute and think about this. Did this young man really just tell Jesus that he had kept the law in its entirety from his youth? No one was able to do that. No one would ever be able to keep the law. The law was put there to show us our sin and show us our need for a Savior. Jesus was the only one that was able to live a sinless life. So either this young man was extremely naive, or he was a hypocrite. But either way, he tells Jesus that he had kept the law. And then in verse 21, we see Jesus beholding him and loved him and said unto him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come and take up your cross and follow me." It's important for us to realize and to notice here that even though this young man needed correction, that Jesus loved him and he gave him that correction in love. Jesus didn't speak harshly or in anger, but he spoke with compassion to this young man. And that's an important lesson for us today too. As Christians, we need to be gracious in all that we do. Some of us are better at it than others, but we all need to make it a point to treat every person that we come into contact with a gracious attitude and with kindness. You know, back in the 60s or 70s, there was a song, so I'm told, that was going around. that Jesus tells this young man to sell all that he has and to give to the poor, and to take up his cross, and to follow him. And what is meant by taking up the cross is just to deny yourself. Deny yourself and serve others. And at that point, the young man, he went away, sad and grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said to the disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I've heard people say that this illustration of a camel going through the eye of a needle is referring to an actual gate in the city walls of Jerusalem that was called the eye of the needle. And I've heard that it's just an actual illustration and doesn't really have much meaning to it at all. Either way, the illustration is not the idea. The idea here is that we are not to trust in our riches if we have them. We are to trust in the Lord. And Jesus uses this example because back in those days, the Jews thought that riches were a sign of God's blessing and of God's favor. And the disciples thought that it was going to be the rich people that had the best chance to enter the kingdom of God because of all the good things that they could do and all the good things that they could afford to do. And if we think that kind of has a contemporary ring to it, doesn't it? How often has the thought gone through our minds? "Man, look at that guy over there, he's loaded in. God must really bless him." Or else, you know, "I wish that I was rich so that I can imagine all the things that I could do for God if I had a pile of money. I could give to missions, I could support the poor, I could do this, I could do that." And all of this is well and good, but the point that Jesus is trying to make here is that the acquisition of wealth shouldn't be our focus. And at the same time, he's also not condemning those who have wealth. He's just saying not to put our trust in our wealth as a means of salvation. This young man in our text thought that because he was wealthy and because he had kept the law, that he was going to be able to make it to heaven. And Jesus told him otherwise. Jesus wanted this young man to realize that wealth wasn't going to save him. His observations of the law and keeping the law are going to save him. The important thing is trusting in Jesus and trusting in the promises of God. In verse 26, we read that they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" These disciples were flabbergasted. They hadn't heard anything like this before and were shocked that Jesus would say such a thing. They had thought that what Jesus had told them was that anyone who has wealth isn't going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus tells them, verse 27, that with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. People, no matter who they are, or what they have, or how nice they are, or how good they are not able to enter into the kingdom of heaven on their own merit. And this includes all of us today. But yet God is gracious. And he calls us to himself. And tells us that through his Son, and through his Son alone, we can all be assured that when we die, heaven awaits us. Our text continues on with Peter saying, verse 28, "We have left all and followed you." It's as if Peter's saying, "Look, we did everything that you just told this young man to do. We followed you. We've given up what we had. What's our reward going to be? What are we going to get?" And Jesus looks at him and to the rest of the disciples and says, "Truly, I say to you, there is no man that has left his house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. his kingdom before those who put their trust in worldly wealth and worldly power. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching us here today, that our trust and confidence need to be in him.